The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now doing the last section in Hilchos Kriyas Megillah. We are in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Yud Ches. Tzibur She'ein Lahem Shliach Tzibur Shiyachol Likro Es Megillah Im Atamim Kiro'oi. A congregation that does not have a Baal Korah who is able to read the Megillah with the proper trup, Yachol Likros Gam Belo Tamim. He'd be allowed to read it without the trup. Rak sheyikra es atevos kiro'i, but he has to be careful to read the words properly. Shelo yishtaneh ha'inyan, so that he doesn't alter the meaning. Now, this is true regardless whether someone is reading with the tamim or without the tamim, they have to make sure not to change the meaning. So now we have an example. She'im kara bimkom u'mardachai yoshev yoshav. If instead he reads past tense instead of current tense, o bimakom v'haman nofel nofal u'kedomer, and things like that, afilo b'di'aved eina yotze. So he's not yotze at all because he changed the meaning of the Megillah. V'yicholin lasos b'Megillah nekudos utamim. If it's necessary, they would be allowed to write in the Megillah the dots for the tamim, sheyikra kahogan, so that he'd be able to read properly, kevin shehu shasad chak, because it's extenuating circumstances. So here we have an interesting idea that you would be allowed to make the notations for the trup inside the Megillah if you have no other way. V'hachi odif tvei mimash yikra acha mitoch ha-chumash belachash, and this is preferable than to have someone else read from a chumash silently alongside the Baal Korah in order to teach the Baal Korah how to say the trup properly. The kevan shezeh ha-korah mitoch ha-chumash, because this person is reading from the chumash, afilu hu korah belachash, even though he's doing it silently, eino yochol lachavin daitoy sheyishma mishliach hatzibah. He will not be able to be focused on listening to the proper kriya from the Megillah from the Baal Korah. V'nimsa shekara rak mitoch ha-chumash, so ultimately it will come out that he's really reading only from the chumash, v'eina yotze, and he would not be yotze because it was not a kriya from a Megillah. V'im eira kach, and if this does occur, tzorach lachzor ulashama, so he has to repeat and to hear it again, mitoch Megillah kshera, from a kosher Megillah. Now, of course, there are other problems when someone's reading quietly, is sometimes it's not as quiet as he thinks, and other people will also be distracted by the reading of the helper, who's not really the Baal Korah, and it could be that their kriya would also not be a good kriya, because they were not yotze with the kriya of the Baal Korah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does say that if someone modifies the words slightly, and then it changes the meaning, and he has to repeat the Kriyas Megillah, that he should repeat it without making a bracha, because there's some element of doubt involved. Halacha Yutas. Tziba she'ein lahem Megillah k'shera k'dina. A congregation that does not have a Megillah that is written al pi halacha, meaning that there's some soul in the Megillah. Mikol makam im hiksuva al klaf kihilchasa. If the Megillah that they have is written on a proper parchment, Rak shechaseros ezatevos beemsa, but it's merely missing certain words in the middle of it. Kevon shelo chaser ba inyan echad, since it is not missing an entire section, inyan echad shalem, a complete section, yocholin likros mitocha ima brachos, so they would be allowed to read from it with the brachos. V'hata'os yikra hakora balpeh, and the parts of it which are mistaken, so that the Baal Korah should read by heart. O yomer lefonav bilachash mitoch achumash, or someone else should quietly read for him with a chumash, and then he should say it out loud. Aval, however, im ein lahem megillah klal. Let's say the congregation has no megillah at all. O shechaser ba inyan echad shalem, or they do have a megillah but is missing an entire section. O shechaser ba batchila o basof, or it is missing the beginning of the megillah or the end of the megillah. So then the halacha is differently. Karin mitoch achumash, then they should read out of a chumash, ko echad bifnei atzmai, each person should read it by themselves. Ve'ein mevarachin, and they would not be allowed to make a brach on it. Now, this opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is not the view of the Mishnah Berurah. According to the Mishnah Berurah, even if a megillah is missing words from the first pasuk or from the last pasuk, the Megillah is still kosher, b'di'eved, and you would be allowed to make a brach on it. However, if it is missing an entire pasuk from the beginning or from the end, then the Mishnah Berurah remains unclear, and he says that it's proper to be machmer, it's proper to be strict, and to not make a bracha. V'yachid she'ein lo rak Megillah psula. But let's say we're not discussing a congregation. Let's say we're discussing just an individual who doesn't have a kosher Megillah, which means he has a Megillah which is missing some words in the middle, perhaps. So, korer ba below brachas. So he would not be allowed to read it with a brachas. He has to read it without brachas. In other words, the heter that we had for a community, for a tzibur, for a congregation that only has a pasul Megillah, that they could read it with brachas, that was exclusive for the congregation. But for an individual, he would not be allowed to do so. If he has no alternative, he would just have to read from it without the brachas. Halacha Chaf. Avel toch shiva noeg beko dine avelus v'asa liros ko mine simcha. If there's someone who is sitting shiva on Purim, so he has to observe all of the laws of mourning, and he's not allowed to see any form of simcha. Now, some poskim are matir this, and therefore what they say is that he can compromise and see a little bit of simcha. Ach, b'ne'ila sasando v'yeshiva al gabe safso, Mutter mifnei shehein dvarim hanirin lakol. But those aspects of avelos which are very public, very external, people see it, such as not being allowed to wear shoes and sitting on the floor or on the low bench, so those are things that he would not be required to observe because everyone sees them. The truth is, many poskim say that even other aspects which are for Hesia, which are public, and it's not just these, they would also not be observed on Purim. And this is the minug that is prevalent today. Notice the common practice is that any outward sign of mourning would not be observed on Purim. However, the Avel, who is sitting Shiva, is still not allowed to leave his house for no reason at all, for Dvar Rishos, but he could go out for a Dvar Mitzvah, such as for Kriyas Megillah. Balaila, at night, im yachol la'esof minyan lebeso, likras ha-megillah, mutav. If he can gather a minyan to his house to read the Megillah, that would be wonderful. V'im lav yispalo bebeso. If he can't, then he should daven in his home. V'yelech lebeis ha-knesses l'shmoa ha-megillah. And then subsequently, he should go to the shul in order to hear the Megillah reading. V'im chol b'motzoi Shabbos. If Purim is on Saturday night, yelech lebeis ha-knesses li'achasu de'shlishes ba'od yom. He should go to shul on Shabbos after the third meal, while it's still daytime, meaning at that point he does not have upon him any of the aspects of mourning, and then he should stay there through Kriyas Megillah. Ubayom, and during the daytime, holach lebeis ha-knesses latfila v'la Megillah. In the daytime, he'd be allowed to go to shul for Tadavin Shachris and for Kriyas Megillah. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Mi shemes lo mes b'tainis Esther. Someone whose relative dies on Tainis Esther, ubalaila hu onen kodem hakfura, and on the night of Purim, since the body has not yet been buried, he's in the status of being an onen. Yishma kriyas ha-megillah me'acher. He should listen to the Megillah reading from someone else, because he can't actively do these mitzvahs himself. V'lo yochal basar v'lo yishta yayin. And he can't eat meat or drink wine. Ki b'layla eino chayev b'mishta. Because at nighttime we hold that there's no requirement for a seuda. Ubayom, and during the daytime of Purim, assuming the body has not yet been buried, la'acha yitzia mibeis ha-knesses, after going out of the shul, korvin es ha-meis, then they bury the body, v'achakach yispalel v'yikra es ha-megillah, and subsequently, he davens and he reads the Megillah. O yishma mi'acher, or he hears it from someone else. Meaning, at this time, he is already an ovel, he's no longer an onen, and as an ovel, he is required to do mitzvos, and therefore he'd be allowed to read the Megillah himself if he wants. V'im shama kriyas ha-megillah kodem ha-kvura, and if he heard the Megillah reading before the body was buried, yotza, he has fulfilled his obligation, even though that is not what the proper procedure. Umikom makom. Nevertheless, nochon shiachser v'yikra below brachas. In this case, that he heard the Megillah before the burial of the body, it is proper he should go back and read the Megillah again without the brachas, because there's some element of suffix, of doubt, as to whether or not he was yotzem. Utfilin lo yaniach afilo achar kfura. But tefillin, he should not wear even after the body is buried. Kevin shehu yom rishon be'evlo, because this is the first day of Avelos, and the rule is that in the first day of Avelos, the ovel does not wear tefillin, and the fact that it happens to be Purim does not change this halacha. Ve'onen be'purim b'yom, if someone is still an onen on the daytime of Purim, meaning the body has not yet been buried, even through the day, muter bebasar v'yayin, he is allowed to eat meat and wine, because there's an obligation of sudas mitzvah on Purim daytime, and therefore the onen is allowed to partake. This that the Kitzer said, that if an onen heard Kriyas Megillah before the body was buried, afterwards it is proper for him to repeat the Kriya without the brachos. On this, the Mishnah Berurah says that he's actually chayev. It's not just proper, it's a must for him to repeat the Kriya, again, but without making any brachos. Halacha Chaf Beis. We will now discuss the procedure of the daytime of Purim. Shachris, mashkim in lebeis haknesses. In the morning, we wake up early to come to shul. La'achash mona esrei omrim chatzi kaddish. V'korin b'Torah b'parshas v'yovay Amalek t'losei gavri. So after Shmon Esrei, they read half Kaddish, and then they read from the Torah the parsha of Amalek, and they call up three aliyahs for it. V'achakach chatzi Kaddish, and after that, they say half Kaddish. U'la'acha shemachnisen es ha-sefa Torah, Karin is a Megillah, and after the Sefer Torah is put back into the Aron, then they read the Megillah. The Acha Bracha Achrona, after the final Bracha, after the Megillah reading, Ein Omrim B'Shachris Asheheni. The song Asheheni, which we say on the night of Kriyas Megillah, is not read in the datum. Asheheni is really a summary of the Megillah story in alphabetical order. Ula'acha shesiyam hakel ha-moshiyah, after they complete hakel ha-moshiyah, oimim shoshanis Yaakov, which in most shuls they actually sing it. For oimim ashrei uvolatzion kadosh shalom imtisgabo, and afterwards they say ashrei and uvolatzion. Of course, you do not say lam natseach on Purim, because Purim is a happy day. Then we say Kaddish Shalom, Im Tiskab, we say the complete Kaddish. Ve'ein lachalotz es ha-tfilin, ad la'acha kriyas ha-megillah. The tfilin should not be taken off until after the Megillah is read. Mishum diksivba, because it says in the Megillah, vikar, vidarshinan, and the Gemara makes a drasha, elo tfilin. It associates tefillin with Kriyas Megillah, and therefore we should be wearing our tefillin during the Megillah reading. Im yesh milah, if there's a bris milah that day, so now there's going to be some question about when to do it. There's actually a machlokis aposkim here. The Kitzer says, Molin kodim Kriyas Megillah, mishum diksiv v'soson zum milah. He says that we should first do the Bris Milah, and afterwards we read the Megillah. Here too, because it's based on the drasha of the word Visasan, which it says in the Megillah, which Chazal tell us is a reference to Milah. So we want the baby to be brought into the covenant before we read the Megillah. And this is the common practice. Halacha Chaf Gimel. Er shehi mukefes choma mimos Yehoshua binun karim ba bechamisha asa. Any city which, since the days of Yehoshua binun, had a wall going around it, so they read on the 15th of Adar, which means they will only read on that day and not on the 14th of Adar. This is true not just for Kriyas Megillah, it is also true for the other mitzvahs Hayom. And therefore, in such cities which qualify that they had a wall going around it, they would, on the 14th of Adar, when the rest of Klal Yisrael is celebrating Purim, they would not give Mishloach Manos, they would not eat Sudas Purim, they do not listen to the Megillah, they do not get dressed up, they do not even say Al Anisim. It is considered like an ordinary day. However, they certainly do not say Tachnun, because the rest of Klal Yisrael are celebrating, and they would not say Lam Natseya. The Kitzer says V'lo Shchichi B'Medino Seino, and these cannot be found in our countries, meaning in the countries in which we live. In Europe, we are not familiar with any such cities. Now, there is a certain amount of dispute in this regard, because there are some who bring down that the city of Prague there's actually a question about, and therefore they should read in Prague on the 15th of Adar with no bracha. In other words, on the 14th they should read with a bracha, and the 15th of Adar, because they have a doubt about it, they should read without a bracha. And this is what's brought down in the Chayei Adam. Now, not everyone agrees with that. And there's a, in the Tshuva Me'ava, he says that they should not read in Prague on any day other than the 14th. And apparently the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is following this approach as well. Now, there are a number of other cities where there is question as to if there was a wall in the times of Yahushua ben Nun, and therefore they would also read on the 14th with a bracha, and then on the 15th they would read without a bracha. In the Sefer Ben Yishchai, he brings down that in Baghdad, the minhag was also to read on both the 14th and the 15th because of a doubt. And in the Kaf HaChayim, he says that in Damascus, the minhag was to read on both the 14th and the 15th because of a doubt. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the city of Shushan itself, even though it was not walled in the era of Yahushua, in that city they should read on the 15th. However, today there is some question about the identity of the city of Shushan. We're not sure where it is. And therefore, even if there is a claim that a particular city is the original Shushan, they should only view it as a suffix, as a doubt, and they should read on both the 14th and the 15th. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, there are a number of cities where it is questionable whether or not they were walled in the times of Yahushua ben Nun. And therefore, according to some poskim, in some of these cities, they should again read on both the 14th and the 15th. These cities include Hebron, and Tveria, and Tzfas, and Shechem, and Haifa, and Akko, and Yafo, and Lud, and Gush Chalav, and Ramla, and Aza, and Yericho, and Beis Sha'an. Now, according to many poskim, you do not need to read in these cities in both days, but this is just a list of some of the more common cities that there will be some element of dispute about. The bottom line is, there is no city that we know with absolute certainty that it was walled in the days of Yahushua ben Nun, and therefore that you only read on the 15th, other than Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh. And this is what happens today in Yerushalayim. Today, it is nobody reads on the 14th. Now, one of the more interesting questions is it merely the walled city of Yerushalayim? How far, if it's a new city, how far does it extend? And over the years, there's been a lot of controversy in this regard, particularly some of the distant neighbors of Yerushalayim, such as Ramot. And in general, the poskim have become more and more lenient in this regard over the years, possibly because Yerushalayim is continuously being built out. There's more residences and more neighborhoods being built in between these outlying neighborhoods and the old city. And consequently today, certainly among the Ashkenazim who live in Ramot, they would not read the Megillah on the 14th. Now, in those cities in which there's a doubt whether or not their real Purim is on the 14th or 15th, the Bir Halacha brings down, in the name of the Pri Chadash, that Mishloach Manos should only be done on the 14th. But the Pri Megadim argues, and he says it should be the same thing as Kriyas Megillah. We do Kriyas Megillah on both days there, so therefore we should also do Mishloach Manos. And this is the common minog in those cities in which there's a doubt, is that they do Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos and Matanos Avyonim on both the 14th and on the 15th. There's a similar question regarding Al Hanisim. And even though there are those that bring down the Shem the Arizal that not to say Al Nisim on the 15th in the city of Tzfas, which is one of the questionable cities, but in practice the Mishnah Berurah brings down that even in cities which is a suffix, then they should say Al Hanisim on both days. One of the most complex questions in Hilchas Kriyas Megillah is what happens if someone who lives in Yerushalayim goes to a different city on Purim, or someone who lives in a different city goes to Yerushalayim on Purim, on which day do they read the Megillah? And the question has many different parts to it. If they go and they come back the same day, what happens if they're on the 14th in Yerushalayim and the 15th out of Yerushalayim? What happens if they're on the 14th out of Yerushalayim and the 15th in Yerushalayim? There are many details to this, and a full discussion of this is really out of the scope of this lecture. Now, when Purim falls out on Friday for the rest of the world, which means that in Yerushalayim, Purim would end up being on Shabbos, it's a very rare and exciting situation, which is known as Purim Mishulash, the threefold Purim. It doesn't happen that often. The last time it occurred was in 2008, and the next time it's going to occur will be 13 years later in 2021. Essentially what happens is we divide the mitzvahs and the minhagim of Purim over 3 days, so that the Megillah reading and the mitzvah of Matanos Le'Avyonim takes place on Friday the 14th, which is like the rest of Klal Yisrael. But they do not do Al HaNisim, and they do not read the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim, and they do not do the Kriyas Megillah on that day, nor the Sudas Purim. Rather, on Shabbos, then we say Al HaNisim, and on Shabbos you also read the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim. And then finally on Sunday, that's the day that they do Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim, which is quite interesting because there's no Kriyas Megillah to be done that day. Again, this is something which practically can only occur in Yerushalayim. The rest of the world will not have this.